We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25 because when you do that, you'll get 25% off your entire purchase of the CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman, the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is the team here, beat writers Patrick Lyons and Michaela Perkins. And we have got a preview for you. The Colorado Rockies kicking off, that's a football term, teeing off, that's a golf term, beginning their three-game set against the Los Angeles Dodgers in L.A., beginning at around midnight local time. These West Coast games can be absolutely brutal. But before we get to all of that, we're going to have some breakdowns for you of the series. We're going to place a few bets for you on your behalf. You're just going to hand over your DraftKings Sportsbook app. We'll make you a little bit of money. We'll take you through the overs and unders. Who's going to do what tonight? But before that, we got to get into this instant replay conversation, guys. It's what's going around Major League Baseball right now. A number of examples from the other night that kind of all came together. I think the Alec Baum situation probably being the most headline grabbing. A lot of people coming out now wanting to say, you know, what's the point of instant replay if they're still going to get stuff like that wrong? Then a lot of other people coming out and saying, well, here's what needs to be fixed about instant replay, which is where I'd like to spend our conversation. If we're going to relitigate any of these, maybe it'll come through our solutions, but let's begin there. Mac, I'll send it to you first. Just what is your general response right now? Let's start with the big overarching feeling about MLB instant replay, where it stands, and how you're feeling about the state of the thing.
I just have to start off by saying he was out by a mile. He didn't even come close to touching the home plate.
You mean a foot? He's out by a foot.
Yeah, he's out by at least a foot. That was just beautiful. Heinous. That was so bad. The fact that they missed that call even after they reviewed it, it blows my mind. I still to this day don't understand how that happened. Fun fact, was an instant replay operator. That was one of my duties while I worked for the Diamondbacks. I have been an instant replay operator, of course, for the Jumbotron, not for the official replay that Major League Baseball uses. But I understand what happens on like the backside of it. And there are so many cameras in the baseball game broadcast, like at least 11 cameras per broadcast. And when you're a camera operator, your job is to follow the action. So I guarantee you all of those cameras were pointed at the runner. And the fact that they still didn't have an angle that was conclusive, if that's what happened, it just blows my mind, because when you're a replay operator, you can control all of the cameras, you can back it up, you can slow it down, you can literally like enhance it and dissect it like by the smallest margins. And so the fact that like something either went wrong with the replay, I don't even know what happened, obviously, but I just don't understand how it could have failed so horribly, because having experience operating like instant replay, it just like, it blows my mind that they missed that call, because they should have had enough camera angles, enough like control over the cameras and the moment that they could have seen that he did not touch home plate. Like, this isn't like a Matt Holliday thing. This is like an egregious out by a lot thing. So I don't know.
Excellent caveat there.
And that was a good point, because with another difference between Matt Holliday and Alec Baum is Matt Holliday touched home plate.
Exactly. Matt Holliday touched home plate. Difference. He didn't.
You see the Padres fans deal with it. Yeah. Right. It's crazy. I think they're doing a good job. I mean, it's the best that it can be right now. I don't think there's any real major changes that they can make, but there are changes that can be made. Major League Baseball has invested a lot of money in this. I think their command center that they set up in New York costs like $30 million. So, I mean, they want to get it right. At the end of the day, I don't necessarily know if this is bad for the game of baseball to have everyone who's probably looking at the NFL combine and thinking about the NFL draft. They now have to talk about baseball. Sure, they're crapping all over it, but in a weird way, you're getting some eyes on it when you wouldn't normally. It's not the right kind, obviously, but it might not be as bad of a thing as we think it is. No baseball fan's going to stop watching games because of something like this, but they definitely do need to fix it. They've been right more times than not. But yeah, there are different things that can be changed within the current system to make it better. I think, once we eventually do get an automated strike zone and automated umpiring, I think that will kind of take things to the next level too. But this is something that's always been a part of the game. Outs, balls, strikes, safe. All of those things have been a part of our game for better or for worse. And I think we're in the better part of baseball's history as far as getting these things right. We're not all the way there yet, but we're going to get a little bit closer.
Yeah, that's been the funny thing about this, Patrick, that suddenly I feel like I didn't switch sides, but like the line moved, because it's like now I feel like I'm defending the system, right? Because in the before days, before instant replay, when I was out there saying we need instant replay, and people were like, no, I'm not sure we do, and then we got it. And then the first couple of years, I feel like there was this honeymoon time where people were like, yes, okay, this is better. Yeah, there were some little things. The guy popping off the bag was annoying right away, but everything else was just like, hey, you know what's happening? We're getting more calls right. And that's the world we live in now. And that's the thing where I keep seeing these people coming out, Justin Turner, I see you, and saying, well, if we're not going to get all the calls right, let's just get rid of instant replay altogether. This is ridiculous. And I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense. Like you just said, we're living in a world now where they're getting many more calls right than they used to. And they have a mechanism to get the accidental but obvious misses. You would have thought this would have fit into the category, correct? 90% of the time, apparently still not 100, but they're getting them right. And so that's why it's funny. Now I feel like I'm defending Major League Baseball umpires and the umpiring system and the people in New York by saying, well, no, let's give them the tools to make what we have better. But this notion of like, let's scrap the whole thing, or really the biggest problem is, the time and the delays. And I know there was a 15-minute delay the other day.
That cannot happen.
And I'm with everybody there. But again, that doesn't mean you scrap the whole thing just because the system isn't perfect. You're never going to come up with a perfect system. Let's try to figure out some ways to make this one better.
Yeah, I think getting rid of instant replay is definitely not the answer. I think that would be taking several steps back, especially when, what Patrick mentioned, you're trying to work towards like automated umpires and like taking away that human error element behind the plate. Obviously, when there's humans involved, like human error is just going to be like a natural like part of what is happening. But I don't think taking away instant replay is the answer at all. I think if anything, you need more technology and to eliminate the human aspect of instant replay out of it as much as you can, so that you're not having, these instances of like egregious calls being made.
Well, that's another thing when people forget that actually there is still a human at the end of the day making this decision. There are still humans. So it's not like the robot actually gets to make the call and tell you
who's
safe or out. So that's another thing that is funny to me, to turn back the other way and slap the umpires, and I don't necessarily mean to. But the fact that, and I noticed this in the early days of it, like they would do pretty much anything they could to not overturn a call. And then they would come out at the end of the year and say, look at these statistics. There were a bunch of overplay or, you know, instant replay overturned calls. Most of them were upheld. That means we get the calls right most of the time. But those stats slowly started to change as the calls were a bit more egregious. I don't know where they're at these days. Actually, that's one thing I'd like to be able to research, come back to this conversation in the future. But that's one of those things, too, that I think people oftentimes forget, that the instant replay showed us all what the call should have been. The fact that the umpires didn't make the correct call is still a human error. That's not an error of the technology. That's still just them deciding incorrectly.
And because it's like, if you don't have that proper evidence, you can't flip that call. And so you're maybe more inclined to say, hey, I don't want to overshadow the call on the field and make my guys look bad. So that can be something. Also, we know the other day Joe West was in the command center in New York City, which is an issue in and of itself.
That should never be allowed to happen.
But to be fair, he did go through the 2-hour training. So I think he knows how to do all the technological stuff. Joe West.
Imagining forward, Joe West backwards. Working a computer right now is sending me to.
Oh my God. I mean, I think really the only way to kind of, like I mentioned earlier, to eliminate these kinds of things is just to add more technology into the picture. Like when the NFL added those pylon cams to the game, that added a whole new look and a whole new angle that they never had before, that like the refs couldn't see, to like their entire system of instant replay, of cameras, of all that stuff. So I don't know, like, if you get like a home plate camera or how, whatever you have to do in order to like introduce more technology to reduce that human error element in instant replay, I think is the way you need to go. And just, you know, make sure that you have resources and like solutions available that involve technology, so there's less of a human error element to, I mean, sports and sports decisions and all that type of stuff. That's just my opinion, I guess.
Can't you have bases and a home plate that have certain amount of sensory where when it's touched, that registers? Again, now if you spike one on top of home plate on a curveball, you know, can home plate kind of withstand that, where it doesn't need to be, you know, restarted? That would be make for another great, oh, there's a 50-minute delay in the Rockies Dodgers game today because they had to restart the programming of home plate. Wait, what year are we living in? But yeah, I mean, look, soccer is the beautiful game. That's something that doesn't predate baseball as far as I know, but the first World Series, I should say, came before the first World Cup. But nevertheless, soccer is one of those games where, hey, for better or worse, the officiating on the field is kind of this golden, you know, idol that, look, for better or worse, it is what it is. But they added goal line technology. And look, we're in the 21st century now. Technology, let's add it to whatever we can, you know, within reason, as long as it works. And I think baseball is on their way and doing that. These partner leagues that they're, you know, trying some new and different things out. The only problem is it's probably 20 years too late, right? They should have been doing a lot of these things a long time ago and maybe tweaking the minor leagues and saying, well, what if the bases were bigger down in AA? And what if you weren't able to step off? Again, whether you like those rules or not, they should have been trying those things 20 years ago. Only problem was they were dealing with all the fallout from the steroid era and they were still kind of the tail end of it. So now baseball is trying to fix itself. And
the commissioner, you know, we might not see it.
That was Michaela E. Perkins, ENVR Rockies.
Sorry. I'm a notorious Manfred, not hater. So, you know, I'm sorry. But it also doesn't help when your commissioner is an idiot. I mean, I think Major League Baseball has historically been behind the curve as of late, which is really disappointing.
I thought you were going to accurately say, I think baseball has historically had commissioners who've been idiots.
Like she's integration in 1947. Yeah, okay, you make a good
it's
point here.
Like she's driving it home, man. She's swinging and not missing. Is what I'm saying.
But yeah, I mean, it's disappointing when you look at like Adam Silver of the NBA, and you know, we don't really have anything close to that. And I just think baseball has historically been behind the curve with making the right like advancements towards improving the game, marketing the game better, making the game more accessible. So I mean, it's not surprising, unfortunately. But yeah, I also hate Rob Manfred, and it doesn't help when your commissioner is an idiot. So,
well, maybe one of the things that he's trying to do is try to advance things maybe quicker than it should be, you know, maybe not it should be, but it's
to make up for lost time.
Kind of a little bit. Yeah. Like, again, these changes they're doing in the minor leagues is, you know, seemingly radical and trying to get make one baseball, you know, the umbrella of having these partner leagues and these college leagues, the MLB draft league that we're going to finally see this year and all of those things and everything what they did with the All-Star game saying, hey, look, this is what the players want. So we're going to listen to what the players want, even though our owners may not want to ruffle some feathers. Yeah. Totally. And so I think he's trying to fix some things a little bit, but
I love that.
He's far from perfect. No doubt.
Oh yeah. No, you're right. Like, come on. But I'm, you know, you guys know me. I'm a big credit where credit's due person. I give it to Dick Monfort, Jeff Breidich for crying out loud. And I got to say the commissioner's office has made some pretty quality decisions lately. Hopefully they'll learn from some of this. Speaking of which, let's wrap up the instant replay conversation on some potential solutions. Sounds like none of us are in for anything radical. I'm with my guy, Sean here. Shout out to you. Last time I actually went out to be able to see Rockies fans in the stands back at spring training 1.0 last year, meeting Sean and some of the guys. Make everything reviewable, excluding balls and strikes. But yeah, that's one of the things I've always been like in all sports when they're like, no, this isn't reviewable. That over there, very reviewable. But this here, I'm like, what? Who decided this stuff? Yeah, that one's just make it all reviewable.
Yeah, and you know, umpires actually have the right. I forget what rule it is. It's rule 8.01, which ultimately just says, hey, if anything's not covered in the rule book, go ahead and have at it. And so I think kind of doing something like that, you could even go so far as if the command center sees something that nobody else saw on the field, the command center could communicate down to home plate and say, hey, guys, I know that just looked like a typical 6-3, but we just saw something that no one else did. So we're going to bring that play back, or we're going to give the guy first base, whatever it may be. So allowing all those things to be reviewable. And again, once we get balls and strikes to be, you know, robotic and we have the automated strike zone, then all bets are off. Then we can just really have the best of the best out there and get those calls right. And even still, it's going to be 99.9%. We're still going to find some new issues. And that one day that it decides to, rain in Los Angeles and all the equipment's bugged, the umpires are going to go, wait, what is a real strike again? I don't know. I have to stand behind home plate. What? No.
Tracy Ringles will be there laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
The only thing I think you're going to get pushback wise from making everything reviewable, though, is, again, the pace of play, how long it takes for a game to go. And if you're reviewing, you know, everything, then that obviously adds to the time of the game and the pace of play going slower, which, you know, Major League Baseball is already trying to speed up the game by making some questionable rule changes. So if they make everything reviewable and the pace of the game gets slower and the game times get longer and they make more questionable changes to the rules to make it go faster, then that's where I'm like totally out on that. Like, I would rather have nothing reviewable and the game stay the way that it is than have everything reviewable and then they have to make rule changes because the game is going too slow or the pace of play is too slow. As long as we can avoid that, then I'm all for making everything reviewable. I think that's a great idea and a great way to, you know, kind of fix some of those errors. But I just wouldn't want it to affect the overall game if, for whatever reason, you know, it came into question where reviewing everything is making the game go slower. Then I'm kind of like, ugh.
Right. You can't borrow from Peter Lambert and pay Paul LaDuca. I think that's how the phrase goes. Can't borrow from Peter to pay Paul. So you're right. You have to get the time of game down. And that could be one of the reasons why we haven't seen certain changes in the game just yet, because they're waiting to get that technology. But you're right. Eventually they can make it where, boom, snap of the finger, that was a strike. This guy's called out for whatever it is. Boom. We'll get there eventually.
What do we think of a hard cap on time of replays, especially after the other day? But again, this is something I've always been in favor of because people do talk about the pace of play thing. And I also think, as much as it may seem like I'm an anti-umpire guy, I'm not. I'm a pro getting the call right guy. And I think it's another built-in fail-safe for the umpires to say, look, we had 2.5 minutes or we had 2 minutes to look at it. And maybe you guys all saw on minute 5 that there was conclusive evidence to overturn it, but I only had 2 minutes. And so that's kind of a built-in if they don't overturn the call, right? If we built in, you've only got 2-3 minutes given any, like a hard cap. And if you haven't decided, call on the field stands, you know, because again, that's like going back to the old day, the same call would have been made anyway. So I don't know, any problems with a hard cap. I don't know exactly what it should
be. I thought they had a hard cap. That's the only problem. They need to actually stick to it, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like, well, it's kind of like the time between pitches rule. That exists. They can charge you with a ball if you haven't thrown, if you haven't gotten on the mound and also the
time of review is the time that the manager says, yeah, we're going to review it. Meanwhile, the walking out to the mound and we're thinking about it. Can we review this? We can. Okay. You look back to your bench coach. You're waiting to get the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Like that's also is a factor. I think, you know, maybe even hiring more umpires so that you can have maybe two separate umpires.
Oh, God, no. No more umpires.
In the command center. No more umpires. That's a t-shirt right there. More umpires. No, but you have two of them where they're literally using video to replay every play. Like, forget what the play was on the field. You're watching it in live time and rewinding it. So, like, even before the manager says, we want to review this, they've, like, already done a little bit of the groundwork ahead of time. Yeah. That maybe could be a solution.
Yeah. One but other also, thing no I thought of.
Just let the kids play.
Just let the kids play. One last thing for me. Oh, we've talked before about you just got to get rid of the popping off the bag for a split second rule. I don't know how you write that. Just fix that. But the other thing for me is there needs to be a different pool of umpires who are doing the in New York replay review. Or like you just said, I'm all for the idea actually that you just floated. If they're different from, because I don't want the guys who all work in crews together and are all buddies with each other and all friends with each other sitting there in New York going, I don't want to overturn my buddy. Or I don't want to make us the umpires or the umpires union look bad by overturning X number of calls this week.
Hire an agency. That's it.
Or we could just get all female umpiring crews so the male ego is no longer an issue.
Boom.
Could do that.
Just drop that mic and get rid of a lot of the Robert Drake style problems. I'll tell you that much. Yeah.
Totally kidding. But
well, we have the players on the field call. Cause I'm sure they'll be honest. So, you know, I was out.
Yeah.
I was out
on that call. Have them call. Yeah.
Sandlot style. We'll go Sandlot style.
Love it. All right. Any final thoughts on the instant replay before I move us along?
It's not very
Matt Holiday touch home plate. Oh,
both of those were phenomenal. I want a shirt with both of them. Instant replay. It's not very instant. And then Matt Holiday touched home plate. Those are both t-shirts. Phenomenal stuff, everybody. I don't have a Breck brew in my hands only because the ball game isn't starting for like another 4 hours. And I'm pretty hardcore, but I'm not quite that hardcore. I'm all out of seltzies. Otherwise, you can go straight to those. Those are better sort of middle of the day, wait and coast and drinks, whichever you're at, you know, it's damn good beer. You know, it's damn good seltzies. You get it from Breckenridge Brew. Very tasty stuff. No matter what flavor of thing you like, if you're into beer or seltzer, you're going to find something delicious to your taste that's going to give you that nice little light buzz that you need, or have your one if you're drinking safely at home and you're having a good time. I love going to that Hot Peak IPA. I do think that I have decided that the peach, that was going to be the case, is my favorite seltzy. So you can find it at King Soopers, at the liquor store, or down at the DNVR bar. Either way, it's damn good beer, and you can't go wrong. And you get bigger Breck brew at the DNVR bar when you're a member of the family. Join up. Subscribe now at the DNVR.com. There's so many fantastic perks that come with it. The thing that you just get that's like the reason to do it, right? It's all the written content. You want to be able to read all the articles and the stuff that we do there. Everything else beyond that is a bonus. You get access to our private Discord channel, a chat where we're talking 24/7 about baseball or pro wrestling, WrestleMania weekend. We were popping off in there. It was a lot of fun. There's foodies and snowboarding and all kinds of stuff going on in there. You get discounts on hats, shirts, and masks constantly. You get a bigger beer, as I mentioned, down at the DNVR bar. And right now, if you order the annual subscription, you get a free t-shirt from our DNVR locker. Brilliant designs by D-Line. You know his work well. I'm sure most of you have plenty of his works in your closet right now. And we'll hook you up with a free holistic stick from our friends at Holistic Wellness. It's a 10-milligram stick of CBD focused on a little bit of recovery, a little focus, a little relaxation. It's fantastic stuff, man. You pop the top off there, stir it in your drink. Really good stuff. Check out the insanely overwhelming positive reviews they've got at Holistic Wellness. That's Holistik wellness.com, and you can use the promo code DNVR30 to get 30% off any other purchases. But again, when you become a member of the DNVR family, we're just going to send you some of it for free just to check it out. And the shirts, all the other discounts, the written content, access to the Discord. Am I leaving anything else? I feel like there's so many things you get when you sign up, but it's
almost like having a Costco card to your favorite sports bar, because instead of getting like what, a 12-ounce pint, it's like 16 ounces,
member size beer. Yep,
oh my gosh,
huge beer.
An upgrade. Member now with 25%.
Yeah.
Send more Breck Brew. Boom.
Fantastic stuff. All right, let's go ahead and take a look at this series. Like I said earlier, Rockies kicking off against the Los Angeles Dodgers, 3-game set tonight, beginning with a clash of the Titans between Trevor Bauer and Antonio Senzatella. Well, Trevor Bauer, last year's Cy Young winner, and a guy who took a no-hitter into the 7th inning against the Rockies last time out. And Antonio Senzatella, obviously, who's been having a decent season. First outing was bad, but had a good bounce back, had a great season last year. Obviously, on paper, this is one you expect the Dodgers to win. But is anyone feeling an upset? Just off the top, anyone just feeling an upset tonight?
Tonight? Not tonight.
Not tonight. It doesn't feel like it tonight.
No. If they lose tonight, this will be their second losing streak of 4 games already. Wow. In game number 11.
There you go.
That's baseball. No, that's hard. That's going to be tough. Does it go to 7 games? Like, do they lose? Not 6 games. Do they get swept? I mean, that might be the easier question to answer. I mean, they played them so well. They played them so well that first week. We know that.
Yeah.
It's the same general guys there, you know, minus Chris Owings there in the lineup. But tonight against Bauer.
Well, what do you think of this baseball logic? Bauer can't be better against them than he was last time, right? They're going to have to find a few more. No?
you bailed on that so quickly. How about?
There's no way he's exactly as good against them as he was last time, right? Because
no team has ever won every single game, so the Dodgers have to lose, and the Rockies happen to be in the opposing dugout.
Dodgers are due for a loss. No, Mac, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's Trevor Bauer. He won a Cy Young Award last season. He is only one of 3 Dodgers now to strike out at least 10 batters in his first 2 appearances. The only other 2 are Carl Spooner and Yu Darvish. He's looking really good right now. You know, up until he allowed that 2-run home run in the 7th inning when he debuted against the Rockies, he was lights out. So I'm not, I don't know how I'm feeling about the Rockies' chances today going against Trevor.
Now the line on DraftKings is again 1.5, right? You can move that line, so it's just again you're picking the straight up win. But if you want to give the Rockies 1.5 and you still think the Dodgers will win by 2, that's -137. I would go with that. I would take those numbers. Bauer looked brilliant in that game 2 start before the bats came around. Then he ended up giving up 4 runs. I mean, that was great. You're hoping for more of that than, you know, the first 6 innings. I think, like most things, it'll be somewhere in the middle, right? It'll be somewhere in the middle. The real question is, I think, Antonio Senzatella, because he hasn't fared very well against the Dodgers in his last few times out. I mean, in September of 2020, he was good. He's never been totally awful, I wouldn't say. Anytime in the past with the Rockies lineup, they have a chance to score 6 or 7 runs. But again, last time out at Coors, 3 1/3 innings pitched, 7 earned runs, you know, didn't miss very many bats. He hasn't struck out more than 3 batters in his last 5 starts against the Dodgers. And so right now the over-under line is 3.5 strikeouts. It's crazy to see a number that low for a guy that we know is one of the Rockies' better pitchers and is probably in the back end of the top 50 pitchers in the game right now, based off what he did last year and his last start. But I would probably take the under. That would be my DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. 3.5 strikeouts for Antonio Senzatella. I would take the under on that.
Really? Wow. I already put it into the
over. I would take the over on that too. I mean, I think last week his start against the Diamondbacks when he threw 8 scoreless innings and only allowing 4 hits was, I think, his best start in his entire career. I guess the only thing that really comes into question is how he fares historically at Dodger Stadium, which, I mean, it's a place he hasn't had much success. He has almost a 7 ERA in LA, which is the worst of any stadiums that he has with at least 3 starts in them. So I guess it just depends on how he's feeling today. But I think 3.5 you said strikeouts?
3.5
I think it's a
little under's the favorite because it's -167. On the under. And also, too, that great start you pointed out against Arizona, it's fantastic. The bottom line, gave his chance to win. 8 innings, a shutout ball. Struck out 3 guys against the Arizona Diamondbacks lineup. Right. That isn't even remotely close to what we're going to see tonight in LA.
Yeah, that's true. That's, oh, that's tough. I've decided that I'm not going to be betting on Rockies pitching anymore this season. So please don't ask me my opinion.
You gave up after 10 games. You swore it off.
I got burned when I bet the over on 5.5 strikeouts for Germán Márquez, and he only struck out 5. I was like, you needed one more strikeout. Are you kidding me? So I have decided to take a sabbatical and never bet on Rockies pitching for the rest of the season. So don't ask me.
It's funny because on instant replay, there was a check swing. It could have been a half. So you would have broken even. You said that was actually technically 5.5.
I know. I lost a lot of money that day.
Give you a half a strikeout. Can you imagine? Right. Yeah, no. All of the numbers say he should not strike out 4 guys tonight. But that's the fun nature of baseball. It's just one of those things that, as Michaela said, all of that stuff is relevant. But the most relevant thing is, how is Senzatella feeling today? And, also a lot of those stats with his ERA at Dodger Stadium. That was the old Senzatella. The new Senzatella. He barely pitched there last year. He's still one of the guys on this team I think has most room to be improving right in front of our eyes. And that's why you might bet against his resume. Where, like, will I be shocked if the Dodgers knock him around and he has a terrible time out there? Of course not. But, I do think he's going to find it against these guys eventually. We forget how young he is still sometimes, and that he's really only been the best version of himself since the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
And that's really when he locked in and changed the grip on all his breaking pitches and all this stuff. He's just a new man out there. So we'll see. I don't feel confident about it, but seeing that you could get a decent, what was it? Plus just lost it. For Senza to go over 3. Yeah. +130 for him to get 4 strikeouts. You get 4 strikeouts again. Very I know beautiful. He doesn't. But it feels very doable. The flip side of that, you did mention the Bauer thing, him having 10 strikeouts a couple of times already. Mm-hmm. The over-under for him is at 8.5. And you can get +105 if the Rockies can only strike out 8 times against Trevor Bauer. You like that, or you think they're going striking out tonight?
No Dodger let me make sure I'm going to say this right. No Dodger has ever struck out 10 or more batters in their first 3 starts. So I know, I don't want to say, cause I'm tired of, I don't want to give my opinion on pitching.
Here's the question.
I'll take the under because I don't think Trevor's going to be able to strike out more than 8 batters after striking out 10 in his last 2 starts. So I'll take the under.
Here's a question. Does he get pulled at some point or do the umpires jump in? This is his first start since those baseballs got pulled. So it'll be interesting to see. Could that be a storyline now? Buddy and the Rockies are not the kind of type that they're going to do that. They're not the type that to go and point like, hey, go and, check him out. They're not going to do that, right? I mean, maybe his next start. Yeah, now this weekend coming up, when you got Padres and Dodgers, that's when you more than likely, if there's some fishiness going on, you're going to see, Jace Tingler going out there saying, let's go ahead and let's check him out to see what's what. So I don't know that we'll see that tonight. I think I'm going to take the over on that. Me and Michaela, we can't seem to.
That's good. Difference of opinions. That way, someone agrees with Patrick and not with me, then they can't get mad at me. So
thing that I like about Senzatella, if you want to look at something that's promising, he did pitch against the Dodgers 3 times last year in that shortened season. And each time he got better. 5 1/3, gave up 6 runs in LA in late August. In early September, 5 1/3, only gave up 2 earned runs. And then at home, 6 1/3, he got the win, only gave up 1 run. So he got better over time. You're hoping for that to happen again after game 2 start, where he only threw 3 1/3, gave up 7 earned runs. And you hope the flip for Trevor Bauer, that even though he was so fantastic early on and cut down 10 Rockies hitters, you hope for it to be opposite. He's not as good. Maybe gives up those 4 runs in 5 innings. And in Mikhail's case, only strikes out 8. Can that happen? Of course. You know why? It's baseball.
It's baseball. Yeah. I will not be placing a bet on that one. I just wanted to see where the
I'm not either. Fell down. I don't want that one.
I'm not either. I'm just giving my opinion.
None of us are. But yeah, I was leaning toward the under, but it's just like, it's one of the, I think it's going to be right there. They're going to strike out either 8 or 9 times is what I think will happen.
So wait, did the sticky ball thing happen after his start in Oakland?
That was against Oakland, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So that happened after or before?
I thought it was, I thought it might've been his Oakland start.
Yeah. No,
it was right before the Oakland start. It was his second start, right?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, maybe he was doing so well because he was using some sticky stuff.
He's a cheater.
And so now that he can't use any more sticky stuff, he's not going to get as many strikeouts.
Yeah, it was Oakland. It was his second start. That was the one. But the two other bets that I liked is Mookie Betts to homer tonight. He's plus 350 on the home run front. He does have pretty good numbers against Senzatella. Corey Seager and AJ Pollock are probably 2 and 3 as far as their previous encounters with Senzatella. And I also have Hampson written down in the home run column.
Really? But that
column is the not hit a home run.
Now,
you are not going to win a lot of money, and therefore you probably shouldn't even bother betting this one. But I feel it's a lock. It's minus $1,600. So basically, if you put down $16, you'll win 10. And I think that's a pretty decent bet right there. Hampson, not going to home tonight. Not against
Not going to hit a home run tonight.
No, it doesn't have a lot of experience against the bullpen. And that's the one thing that we know is, the more opportunities you have against the pitcher, the greater your odds are, essentially, as far as the hitters feel, the more confidence they have stepping in there. So that's certainly going to benefit Rockies hitters. But as we saw with Senzatella, those Dodgers hitters last year kept seeing him more and more, and they got less and less off of him. So I don't think Hamp's going to do it tonight. Although inside the park homer,
table.
I don't think so. It depends on if his mom told him to hit it inside the park home run. If she did, see, this is the kind of inside information we need to know. I might need to text him now, come to think of it.
Now, this is a bet that I actually did put down, and I'm going to put down, I think, for every day for the foreseeable future until it hits, because this has to happen at some point. How do the bets guys say you're supposed to? I'm not supposed to say. I got a unit, I think, a very small dollar amount every day for the next several days for Trevor Story to hit a home run. He's at plus 450. He hasn't hit one yet. As Patrick was saying on the pod the other day, he should have like 5 or 6. 6, was it? Depending on different ballparks. I think I saw, like, if you did neutral ballparks, it was like 4.5 or something. You know, that half a home run you get sometimes. Trevor's going to hit a home run. It doesn't even necessarily have to be off of Bauer. He'll probably get an at bat against the bullpen, maybe 2. And I think he can get back. Like, Trevor can take anybody deep. It doesn't, like, you know, better pitchers, it's tougher, but it takes one mistake. So I'm basically putting a fiver on Story to hit a home run at plus 450 because he's not going to hit 0 for the entire year. I'm certain of it.
So. Yeah, that's a guaranteed bet. He's got Story does have good numbers against Kenley Jansen and even better numbers against Blake Treinen. So those are those matchups where, all right, if he can't get it done against Bauer, you got a couple guys in the pen that could do some damage. And if Hampson against Jimmy Nelson, he's got good numbers against him head to head. So if you see Jimmy Nelson late in the game, and if you want Hampson to hit that homer,
yeah.
It depends on which side of the fence you are on the Hampson homer watch.
I think if I have to pick a player to get a home run, I'm going to go with Rymack. Rymack is on fire right now. His odds are pretty close to Trevor's Story's, a little worse, but not by much. I just love Rymack. I think he's on fire right now. I don't know if he hits it tonight. I do like the lefty on righty matchup, though, with Rymack and Trevor Bauer. So I think Rymack will hit at least one Rymack jack at some point in this Dodger series.
Let's go. And that reminds us that before we can leave game one, we do have to continue our series of picking a player to get a hit tonight. Not to, you know, do this to you, Mac, but you've destroyed us so much in the draft so far. We do have to look at the scoreboard in sports and note
that
Patrick and I have gone 2-for-2 with our picks, and you are sadly 1-for-2. Who let you down last time? It's been Charlie both times.
It was Charlie, yeah.
So Charlie got you on and then didn't.
Freaking Charlie. No, it wasn't. I didn't bet Charlie the first time, did I?
You did, yeah.
Oh, I did?
Oh, I've got a file, all right? I've got a dossier all of this. So
bring in the receipts, Patrick.
I am. So Drew can say you're 1-for-2, but really, in my book, you have a zero-game hit streak going. Whereas Drew and I, 2-game hit streaks.
I don't like that. I like Drew's version better.
Drew, which one do you like?
True.
You know,
answer carefully.
I was gonna say true. I've been walking.
You can get close to the camera.
True. Answer.
Also, I've been doing well here.
All right.
Both things are true. Batting averages and hit streaks both have value.
And we don't have necessarily any rules as far as picking the same guy. We all have gone our different ways. So you can do what you want. In fact, I'll go first.
I want to go first. I don't want you to take my guy.
You can take whoever you want. You can pick the same one as myself.
I'm going first. I pick Rymack. I already picked him to hit a home run, so I'll just pick him to get a hit too.
He was one of my two. He was one of my two.
Well, I'm glad I went first.
And Drew, I feel you've gone third every time, so I'm going to let you go second. And if you pick my guy, then we're just going to have to double up. We'll just have the same.
Yeah, that's okay, right?
For the record, I hope you're both wrong.
Well, I'm glad to see you're a good sport about it. Go ahead, Drew.
Now I'm talking myself out of the pick that I was going to make. I got to stick with it. I think he's due to hit the home run. I'm sticking with Trevor Story. I'm going to go with it. He's been hot lately. He's got a couple hits the last couple games. He's been seeing the ball well all season. I picked him to hit the home run. I got the fire. So I'll just be an all-around winner if he can come through on all those for me.
I like it. Your last pick that you had in Ryan McMahon, what did he do that game? Hit three home runs.
Oh, he hit three. That's right. Yeah. Three home runs. I appreciate it.
Yes.
That.
And he picked CJ Krohn the first time we did this. So you're doing pretty good with
him. And I don't think he's got a hit since.
Big games. And I don't think so either. And the fact that he's in the starting lineup and Sam Hilliard is on the bench is a whole other issue. But I'm going to go Charlie Blackman here. He's got good numbers. Against Trevor Bauer in 13 at-bats. Again, hitting towards the top of the lineup, so he's going to get that many more opportunities. Has some good fortune against some of the guys in the bullpen, like Dennis Santana, even David Price in 4 at-bats. Victor Gonzalez, I love. Only 3 opportunities against him, but still some favorable outcomes. So I like Charlie Blackman to be the guy to come through with a hit today, if not more.
Love it.
You can have him. He disappointed me last time, so take him.
Brutal.
You're a real Janet Jackson. You know, what have you done for me lately? You know? Man.
Borderline reference. She knows who Janet Jackson is.
Does she?
For sure, but.
I do. Only because of the Super Bowl incident with Justin Timberlake.
Yep, and that's exactly how everyone else knows her, too. So, cool. All right.
Those cheekbones. She has amazing cheekbones. Just a random thing to point out. Hey, you know what else is kind of random? Saving money. I love saving money. I love having more money in my wallet. I love not spending it on home and car insurance, especially. And I was paying way too much before, way too much for my home and car insurance. I know that most of you out there probably are doing the same. Luckily, our friends at Gabby, and that stands for Get a Better Insurance. That's the easy way to remember it. They'll save you literally hundreds of dollars like they did for me, for our guy AJ Haefeli over on the Avs, our sales director Lindsay Sauer. Not quite as much as we saved for our guy Eric Weedham, D-Line Co. Saved over $1,000. Absolutely amazing, depending on how many things you're getting insurance on and how poor you were at researching before. Either way, no one wants to research and come up with the best possible going all the million different websites and doing all that garbage. Let Gabby do it for you. It'll take less than 10 minutes. Go to gabi.com/DNVR. And it took me less than 10 minutes. It might have taken me less than 5 minutes. You just put in a couple of quick pieces of information. They'll put a bunch of quotes in front of your face. You choose the one that saves you the best money and the most money, I should say, and or is from the best company that you feel most comfortable with going. You still have options there at that point. It's really fantastic service. It literally is the only one of our sponsors that takes $0 out of your pocket and just puts money back into it. There's no hassle. There's no obligation. They're not going to send you a bunch of calls and texts and emails. In fact, they're not going to send you any calls or texts or emails. They're just going to hook you up with a better insurance. That's it. They're going to get you that better insurance. Check them out at gabi.com/DNVR. And if you get your, if you got your money saved up, you might be able to spend a little bit on your education. Go over and take some classes at MSU Denver Online. Absolutely fantastic stuff for you there. They've got classes in just every topic you can possibly think of. Teachers that tend to work in their field, very responsive to emails and all the digital things that make this world that we're in now run. Very safe, obviously, environment to get your education in because it's digital and you can do it while you're working. Most of the people that take classes at MSU Denver Online do it while they're also working part or full time. It's great to be able to earn your degree so that you can make more money while you're still not having to give up the money that you're making now. Whether it's a new skill, starting out a new degree or finishing up an old one, find them there at msudenver.edu/online.
Got to reinvest in yourself. Got to reinvest your education, even if it's not even going to make you money, just for a hobby or something. If you're just looking to be better at public speaking. I took a public speaking course first semester of college, crushed it, and realized, okay, a lot of people do not like talking publicly, barely even privately. And, and I was glad I took that course. And I know MSU Online is going to do the exact same thing because no matter what you do, you got to speak publicly. I mean, right?
Yeah, out there in the world, especially if you're on a podcast.
Especially if you come up to us at the DNVR bar and you want to say, here's why I don't like your take, or here's why I do like your take. Either way, it's going to prepare you for sure. Invest in yourself.
It's good to know all of that stuff. Do indeed. And invest in your health and your body and what you put into your body by going with our friends at Hassle Cattle Company. Wagyu beef is not only the most delicious, just extraordinary tasting beef you've ever had in your life, whether you're into like ground beef, ground chuck, hamburger, some steaks, any way you like your beef, the bacon. Oh, I just had like a flashback in doing and talking to you right now about the bacon from Hassle Cattle Company. But sometimes you get that bacon or that steak or that beef from somewhere else and it's all gunked up with hormones and antibiotics and you didn't treat the animal well and it doesn't feel good in your body and it costs more. Like there's nothing to gain out of that. Go to hasslecattlecompany.com right now. Check them out. I promise you won't be disappointed. I'm still sitting at 100% positive feedback. It's HASSELL cattlecompany.com. You can enter promo code DNVR10. It'll save you 10% off. And if you end up ordering over $200, which I highly recommend you do, you'll get free shipping on some of the best tasting and really best feeling beef that you've ever had in your life.
Where's the best beef? It's at hasslecattlecompany.com.
That's right.
I think we can get away with that.
I think so. I believe that's right. No one's got that trademarked, right? All right, let's look ahead to the rest of the series. Like we said, it's going to be a rough one for the Rockies to find a way to win even one of these games. Second game of the set, all of these taking place at 8:10 Mountain Time. So
get your naps in, folks. Get your naps in.
And just for those of you wondering, so we'll be podcasting and doing the live shows throughout the day this week and not trying to subject you to 1 a.m. shows. So if anyone was of need of those. The second game of the set has John Gray going up against Dustin May. Third game has Austin Gomber against Julio Urias. Any of those feel like potential winners for the Rockies to you, Michaela?
I think Thursday's game probably would be the game that I would put money on them winning. Wednesday's game is the game that I'm the most excited to watch in terms of pitching. Dustin May has been incredible so far this season. In his first start, he threw 6 scoreless innings in Oakland. He struck out 8, which tied a career high for him. And obviously, he'll make his first start in Dodger Stadium for this season on Wednesday. And he just pitches really well at Dodger Stadium. He looks lights out. And so does John Gray. I think John Gray earned the ace title for the Rockies. I know he's not necessarily in the one hole right now, but I think he deserves to be. He also was lights out in his last start. I mean, he looks like one of the best pitchers in the National League so far this season. And then in his first outing, obviously against LA, it was a pretty decent start. You know, obviously the cramps, the full body cramps kind of got in the way for his first start. And then his second start was just, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start than that from John Gray. So I think in terms of pitching matchups, Wednesday is the game that I'm the most excited for. I think Dustin May and John Gray are both on just looking phenomenal right now. And I also love that it's a May Gray day. Yeah.
May Gray day.
So I think Wednesday.
Justin Gray against Don May. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, Wednesday is definitely the day I'm most excited for pitching wise. But I think if the Rockies have a chance to win a game from this series, it's definitely going to be on Thursday. Austin Gomber, I know he hasn't gotten a win yet, but I don't think his stats reflect the talent that he is. So I'm excited to see Austin pitch again. I think this will be like a gut check game for him to see, you know, how he can build off of his last start that he made that I thought was really great as well. So, yeah, that's what I'm excited for.
Well, Mikayla just broke down the final 2 games of the series, so I don't know what else I could possibly add other than more wordplay.
A quick overview.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Other than wordplay of it maybe being Don Gray versus Justin May. I don't know, but you could really flip these names around in any kind of order. You're right. I'm excited for the next 2 matchups as well, more so Gray and May, you know, seeing what John can do, you know, two guys with long red hair, and they tick off a lot of boxes. And you know, John Gray's got a 3.99 ERA over his last 5 starts against the Dodgers. So that looks pretty nice. Dustin May's been a little bit better, hasn't been able to go past the 6th inning. So he's got some shorter starts. But, yeah, Gomber is going to be interesting to see. And I really hope the bats can also respond against Urias because that young guy is phenomenal. And he made his debut in the postseason at 19 years old. Like, he's been around for a while. He's just had a couple injury bugs. But his numbers haven't been great against Colorado, you know, 3.97 ERA over his last 5 outings against the Rockies. So that could be the one to win, but all of that's going to depend on, you know, what Austin Gomber ends up doing. So it wouldn't shock me if they won 2 out of 3. They're going to have to be all close games. If they win 2 out of 3, one of them is going to be a blowout because the Dodgers are going to be pissed, not pissed, pissed. But
straight up,
they more than likely will get swept here. I hope they prove me wrong though.
Yeah, I mean, none of these are wins on paper, right? There's not, right, none of these individual games. It's all about can they steal one, and if so, how? I totally buy into Mikayla's logic that Urias is the most beatable pitcher out there in front of them. As you mentioned, the biggest X factor there is Gomber has to match him, and even if he does, then it becomes a game of the Rockies offense against the Dodgers bullpen versus the Dodgers offense against the Rockies bullpen. And that's the same thing that I'm expecting, actually. That's exactly what I'm expecting to happen in the second game. So the Thursday game, you're kind of hoping it turns into that. The second game, I expect John Gray to be good. I expect Dustin May to be good. I expect the game to be close when both of those guys have left it. But that doesn't bode well for a Rockies win either. I will say the bullpen's due to not have a stinker at some point. These guys have shown individual talent at times. Each one of them has kind of had, you know, a moment, just not when the team needed it the most. So I do think they'll put one together where they can roll out there with Almonte has a good game, Kinley has a good game. They can get to Barr. Just is it going to happen in the next 3 days? Probably not. I would, if the bet was, you know, if, and I don't think you can do this on DraftKings, but if the bet was, do they win a game? Are they more likely to win a game or are they more likely to get swept? They're more likely to get swept.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little unfortunate. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is the Dodgers could take their eyes off the Rockies in that final game if they are thinking more about the Padres coming up this weekend and they manage their bullpen a little bit differently than they might normally, because they're saying, hey, we could probably beat these guys with our second best, you know, players in the lineup, or even, you know, coming out of the bullpen. And that's an opportunity for Colorado to kind of make something happen there. And you know, conversely, you've got this idea where the Rockies are leading MLB, or they're at the bottom of MLB in walks. Like they're just putting too many guys on base.
Weird.
Yes. It's 30. Oh, we had it upside down. High scores are bad. Oh, darn. So that's going to be a problem. So if they throw too many over the plate, we know the Dodgers are going to be attacking that. So has to be some kind of balance of the two, if you will. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think it'll be as high scoring as it was in Colorado. Anyone else feel like that?
That seems right.
It's going to be less than 12 runs scored every game.
Yeah. That seems highly plausible.
I think there's one of my favorite things so far this season is just finding the joy or something to look forward to in each Rockies game, because although the team might not be performing as a whole very well, there are still some bright spots in each game that I always try to find and I always look forward to. You know, with, you know, the game on Wednesday, I'm looking forward to John Gray's building off his performance, the last performance he had. When Austin takes the mound, I'm looking forward to him getting better at his command and not issuing as many walks, hopefully. So there's always things to look forward to. You know, Drew, you were talking about the bullpen. I think one of the most overlooked arms in the bullpen so far has been Jordan Sheffield. He looks awesome. And he hasn't given up a run yet. And fun fact, the Rockies got him in the Rule 5 draft from the Dodgers. So it's going to be really cool if he gets a chance to go out there and help the team, you know, the Rockies beat the team that he came from. So I think there's always cool things to look for. And I think, you know, if you take the time to sit down and prepare yourself mentally, you know, you can manage to not be disappointed and also find some really cool things that the team is doing, or players specifically are doing. And I'm looking forward to the series, regardless of, you know, if they win or lose. I think there's still going to be moments to cheer for, people to cheer for, and I think it's going to be a relatively okay series.
I'm looking forward to Sheffield striking out the third batter of the inning, looking over at the Dodgers dugout and said, should have put a ring on it.
Yeah,
that's applicable for so many reasons, especially, and I don't need to go there. You know how great of a reference that is.
That's so good.
Finally understand.
Yes, Jay-Z's wife. Now, I'm looking forward to see what Tapia does batting six. I want to see what he can do, you know, with some RBI opportunities there. You know, we've seen what he's done at the top of the lineup, setting the table, but I want to see him, you know, driving home some runs, hitting the ball the opposite way, or actually pulling the ball really. If you're trying to get a runner from third base, just kind of doing those little things and kind of feeling it out. Because I don't think we really know, you know, what he's capable of, what his best spot in the lineup is. You can see him being a guy that can hit leadoff for about second. But I think, again, as he continues to mature, as crazy it seems to be, because he's been around for a while. He's one of the more veteran players on the team. He still has more to go. Like, all right, maybe he could be more of a run producer at some point. So I'm going to be looking forward to that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always looking forward to watching Raimel Tapia get up there into the batter's box. That's always an appointment television for me.
Because he's your dude.
But your dude, speaking of familial connections from before, you know, back when his cousin used to play here, it used to be a very big deal every time there was a return to California. I don't know what the family situation will be like for Josh Fuentes out there, but I do know that Dodger Stadium is a special place for him to play. And so that's another thing, as Michaela is talking about, you know, things to watch for and be excited about. Did he make his debut out there? Now I'm trying to remember. Where did Fuentes make his? I feel like it was shortly after his.
It was in Colorado because he had to drive to Albuquerque. He had to drive from Albuquerque up to Coors Field. Yeah. And it was like, hey, I don't have any identification on me, but just trust me. I'm actually on the Rockies. So they're about to start the game. Let me in. Great story. But you're right. He did do something pretty big in LA.
Shortly thereafter, they went out to LA, and I think he had a nice little set. And so that's just something I'll be watching.
He's well there.
Will he rise to the moment, or will he, you know, we'll see. But I'm very excited to watch Fuentes play this weekend as well.
Always positives when you look for it. You got to find the silver lining.
Rymack's a California kid as well. Another guy who I think is always enjoyed playing.
Also, I feel like that should be the Rockies mantra. Always find the silver lining, particularly because their logo has a silver lining.
It's right there in it.
It's right there.
It's true.
Will, I am deeply offended and I will not look at any pictures of this. Sergio Romo, according to our beat writer in the comments section, Will, Sergio Romo is clean shaven now?
I have not seen that, but I have seen Rougned Odor clean shaven.
I was just going to say that.
He looks about...
He looks like he's 13. Like
all right, maybe 13. Yeah, maybe he's...
Like prepubescent. I was like, who is that man on the Yankees?
He's only 26. Who is that? Young.
Is that right? God, it feels like he's been around forever.
Yeah, like had a quote when he was talking to the media about it. He's like, his daughter got so upset because she didn't even recognize him. I was like, oh, that's so sad.
Man, why would he look so weird? That?
I think that clean shaven rule is so silly. Like, it's 2021. If they want to have a neatly kept beard, let them. Like, what are we doing? Just let them have a beard.
Is anyone talking about Rougned Odor in Colorado other than us? If they have a rule in which you can keep your beard, no. So for that single reason alone, it's kind of now cool again.
Let those men have facial hair. Oh my gosh.
You're right. It is silly, but I'm okay with that tradition. If he walked down the field with a beard, he's not going to get cut. There's not a sniper on the roof like going to take him out. Like,
I'm going to say, how does this rule work? And how is it even like allowed? Like, I just stepped back for a minute and was like thinking from like a workplace standpoint. Like,
if you want to be a Yankee and be accepted by Yankees fans,
didn't he get traded to the Yankees?
Get rid of it.
Can you imagine,
they
like
acquire his contract?
Yankees fans do not want to see their players in beards. I mean, they do, but they want to see like Jeter, Posada. Yankee, they want to see the guys that have been there for a while. Brett Gardner has a clean shaven head, for crying out loud. That's how far he took it.
Like, he's Garrett Cole had to shave his beard. Imagine if like a guy who has like Odor's beard is like decent, but like imagine if like an Archie Bradley pitcher type went to the Yankees. I mean, Archie Bradley's beard is like
Blackman.
Should have put a trigger warning Rockies fans, I'm talking about Archie Bradley. Imagine if him, like if he went to the Yankees though, like his beard is like his signature. Like, if I can't even, or like Charlie. Well,
I don't have to imagine it because it's already happened, Michaela. A gentleman by the name of Johnny Damon went from Boston.
That was a sad day.
To the Yankees. He was the original Charlie Blackman, but maybe not as hip.
I genuinely can't picture Charlie Blackman, A, in a Yankees uniform, or B, without his beard mullet situation that he has going on, which is iconic, by the way. But I'm also like a facial hair type of gal, so like I guess it just triggers me when I see them lose their facial hair because it makes me very sad. But I think it's so stupid. Like, why are we still doing this? It's 2021. Let the poor boys have their beards. Like, sorry, random tangent.
Jason Giambi, if you want to go Rockies, he's the guy who had to get rid of his oily locks.
The Johnny Damon thing actually bothered me. That I remember being.
He got like a deal from Gillette, I think, and he got a whole bunch of money to donate to a charity. He embraced it.
Self-image. Nothing is worth being who you are, Johnny Damon. Oh, it hurts.
They might have thrown him an extra mil. That's a chuck. They might have thrown him an extra mil in that deal.
Imagine Charlie Blackman got traded to the Yankees.
That would be the saddest day of my life. I think I would end it all at that point. I couldn't handle the sadness of that. I could not. Like, Nolan is one thing, but Charlie has like been my favorite player on the Rockies since he came up, and I don't even.
And then they'd make him shave it all out. He'd be gone, and he'd be a different person.
I wonder what he would look like.
Oh yeah!
Boom! Right there, Charles. One more time.
Such a
nice looking guy. He's all right.
Hate it.
You know what that is? If you're watching live on YouTube, that is the look of a New York Yankee.
Oh, shut up. Oh, my God.
You hope it never happens.
Take it back. Don't put it in the universe.
I'm just saying, if he was, we know what he looked like. We've got
to take it back. Evidence. You can't manifest that type of stuff. That's bad energy, bad juju.
It's probably not going to happen.
Oh, God.
Well, there's no way to put this podcast back on the rails, so I think the only thing we can do now is end it. Thank you all for listening.
Bye.
It's been an absolute blast. We really do appreciate each and every one of you. As we're always saying, help out our sponsors, because one, it's great products and you get good stuff that's probably just going to help you in your life. And two, it really, really does help us out. So check them out. Check everybody else out on social media. Make sure you're being a part of the family on all the different social medias, including Instagram and TikTok. I'm learning about TikTok. Every time I open it, it scares me and I close it again, Michaela.
But go follow us on TikTok.
Follow me on TikTok.
You skipped over Snapchat. I feel like you need to learn Snapchat first before you can do TikTok, Drew. Like, no, it's
maybe. Yeah, exactly. Right. But all that stuff, find us at Drew Kreisman, at Patrick D. Lyons, at Michaela E. Perkins, at DNVR underscore Rockies, all the rest of the DNVR fam. Follow all of them. Make sure you're subscribed to the DNVR.com for all that stuff we talked about earlier. All the discounts, the written content, and hanging out with us in the private Discord channel. We appreciate each and every single one of you. We hope you find a way to enjoy this series against the Dodgers, despite the fact that the Rockies are probably going to lose all the games. But we still appreciate you being absolutely awesome out there. We promise you to continue to be absolutely Patrick Lyons, Michaela Perkins, and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.